Hey everybody, it's Marcus here with GoodyReader.com, and you're listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show. The date is July the 25th, 2011. We're following some top stories for this edition of The Week in Review. We're going to look at the Amazon Textbook Rental System, the new HP Touchpad, the world's first webOS tablet. We'll also talk about the Borders saga and how it's really officially over, as well as a new ebook autographing system called KindleGraph. Now, before we get into the show, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsors. We're going to start this edition of The Week in Review off with some digital publishing news and also ebook news. The first story is the new Amazon textbook rental system. This is a way that you could rent textbooks from as little as 30 days all the way to 360 days and save 80% off of the list price of purchasing the textbook. You can read these textbooks not only on your Kindle e-reader, but also PC, Mac, Android tablet, or smartphone. One of the great aspects of this is often with textbooks you are highlighting, taking notes, making annotations, and so on. When you return your book, you actually get to keep all of these. There's currently 20,000 textbooks available, and it's available to people in the US and Canada. Another story that we're getting involved in is KindleGraph. This is a new program that allows authors to sign textbooks. Unlike autography, which allows authors to personalize their autographs, KindleGraph basically allows authors to just have a generic autograph that is able to be on your Kindle ebook. There's a website available. You basically connect up to it via Twitter Connect and make your choice of ebooks that you want to get your author's signature. The authors and the publishers will have opted in to actually sign the ebook, and the author will receive a request, and then he or she will do the actual signing using DocuSign's API. This is then sent back to the users of the Kindle e-reader as a separate file. You can then load it up into your e-reader and get on reading. So it's a new program. We're actually going to talk to the founder of it, and we're having an interview with him on Tuesday of this week. So if you want to know more and get the full scoop on it, we're going to be interviewing him. So check out a future edition of the Goody Reader Radio Show this Tuesday. It looks like Kobo is going to be taking over Borders ebooks. Since Borders is in mega trouble, Kindle is taking over all of their online accounts. And so if you are a Borders customer and have purchased ebooks, you'll now be able to get said ebooks transferred to your Kobo account. And any type of future purchases you want to make, you do it through Kobo instead of Borders. Borders was a minority stakeholder in Kobo. They had roughly about 11% of the company. No word yet on how this is going to affect Borders since they filed into Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and they released a statement about this. As one of the early investors in Kobo, Borders was a minority stakeholder in our company and serves as part of their distribution in the U.S. along with Walmart, Best Buy, Sears, and other leading retailers. As a member of the broader book publishing and retailing community, we are watching Borders' story and will offer our support to Borders and their employees. Kobo will continue to serve Borders customers in this time of transition as well as moving forward. To provide the ultimate e-reading experience and one of the widest selection of e-books available to the e-reading community worldwide. So, it's a scoop on that. And we are going to give you one last bit of news and then hear from Mercy, who's actually on location at a writing conference. Google and Pottermore are teaming up in order to provide Google Checkout and cloud storage for books purchased from Pottermore. If you are familiar with the situation, Pottermore is J.K. Rowling's attempt to digitalize ebooks. You'll be able to purchase not only the regular ebook version, but there's also an enhanced version, which just allows you to participate in the story. It's more graphical, more animated, and so on. So it's perfect for the kids. And yeah, it looks really like that Google Checkout will be used, and when you purchase books via it, you'll be able to store the Harry Potter ebooks in the cloud-based Google Books libraries, and this storage capacity will allow readers to access their Harry Potter ebooks from any enabled device. Author J.K. Rowling opted to create Pottermore Publishing and sell the long-awaited digital editions of the books through her very own site, Pottermore.com, and this bypasses Amazon, Apple, and Barnes & Noble. It's pretty big news, and we're going to hear a bit from Mercy, who's actually on location.
This is Mercy from Good E-Reader, reporting from the Harriet Austin Writers Conference. Good E-Reader goes on location every so often to cover these events for digital publishing and the technology side of it. This event was different for Good E-Reader in that this was really focused on the writers themselves, so the indie authors today. One of the things about this conference that is now in its 17th year was this is one of the first years that they are really recognizing the role that indie publishing is taking. There were several sessions for writers, several people that writers could meet who really had a lot to say about self-publishing, e-publishing, what an e-book is, things like that. And so this is the first time that a huge writers conference has really embraced self and digital publishing like this. Some of the people who were in attendance actually are experts in their field from the traditional publishing industry, but came to talk to these self-published authors and indie authors and people who've decided that this is the route for them, just to lend some of their expertise and credibility to the entire process. We were able to interview several people. Of course, we've already posted the interview with Chuck Sambaccino, who is an editor from Writer's Digest, and who actually puts out a current blog of the Guide to Literary Agents and is editor of two annual mass markets for those basically the definitive Bibles for writers who want to know more about the publishing industry as a whole, including how to find their agents. A lot of the writers who were there in attendance were taking advantage of something that this conference and very few others actually offer to writers, which is a manuscript submission process. Now, if anybody listening is a writer, they might know what I'm talking about. But for those of you who don't, a lot of the benefit to writers' conferences, besides the networking and the option to learn more about the craft, is that many conferences will have agents in attendance who want to receive what's called your pitch, where you have just a few minutes to tell them 3 to 4 sentences about your entire book. And based on that few sentences interaction, they'll say, well, yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. I'd like to see this, giving you permission to email it and say, you requested this from me in that email, kind of weeding through the pile there to get an agent's attention. They may also at the same time say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't sell projects like that, but better luck with somebody else. So it's a gamble when you're meeting a lot of agents. This conference does something very different. There is no pitch fest. There are several networking opportunities where you can stand around or mingle or have dinner or drinks. But this one, ahead of time, allows its attendees to submit the first 15 pages of their manuscript. It will be read by one of their professional people who are evaluators for this conference, and you will get a 15-minute face-to-face critique of this submission. So this is invaluable information. Even if you know the person who read your submission is not even representing projects in your field, say you write young adult paranormal and this person doesn't represent that, you get 15 minutes of face-to-face with an agent or an editor from one of the big editing companies. In a couple cases, even they had a publishing attorney this year who was actually going to, you know, from Los Angeles, who actually may or may not be representing what you write, but he can tell you amazing information about your work itself. So we have a lot of interviews about that process, what it meant to some of the authors in attendance, what it meant to Agent Mary Cole from Andrea Brown Literary, that will be posted this week, as well as Amanda Ludicky from McGregor Literary. So I got to sit down and talk with them about what they're looking for from submissions and from pitches at an event like this. So that will be really useful information, even for our listeners who wish to self-publish. I also was able to post this morning a very brief interview with Editor-in-Chief Doris Booth from AuthorLink. I have to say that was one of the most amazing interviews because I set up an interview with someone who, by all accounts, from every attendee I heard from, Doris is just on the cutting edge of everything to do with digital publishing. Years ago at this very conference was predicting things like print-on-demand kiosks that we have covered at Good eReader. And so to actually meet her was very, very interesting. But the amazing aspect of it was waiting for this interview to start and having a sweet grandmotherly type woman come walking in, not somebody you would typically think of as being right there on the cutting edge of what's going on with all things for digital publishing and ebooks. So we're going to have a series of very interesting interview and articles posted this coming week on all the happenings at the Harriet Austin Writers Conference.
We'll be hearing more from Mercy when she gets back from the Harriet Austin Writers Conference, and we'll be talking with her tomorrow. Just stories about the conference, eccentric characters that she ran into. We talked a little bit before the show started, and she has some epic stories about stodgy old characters that know nothing about digital publishing, ebooks, or e-readers, and her adventures on trying to convince them that digital publishing is, in fact, the way to go. This last week has been really light on e-reader news. We have one story that we're following as Kobo and is going to be selling the Kobo Touch through Swindon Book Co., and this is from Hong Kong. Swindon is a company that Kobo already has a bit of a relationship with. Swindon Book Co. has been going almost since about 1918, and they already have a relationship because they were selling the Kobo Wireless in Hong Kong when it first came out. Now it really looks like that the Kobo Touch is going to be there, and it's going to be on sale for 1,390 Hong Kong dollars. We have a quote here. The availability of the Kobo e-reader Touch in Swindon Book Company marks the first Chinese locations where customers can see, try, and buy our state-of-the-art device, said Tom Humphrey, Executive Vice President of Business Development. This is at Kobo. Like Kobo, Swindon is passionate about reading and helping customers explore and embrace their reading preferences. We're excited to expand Swindon's e-reading offerings to their customers. And that's basically the story there. We're going to follow a little bit into tablet PC news now. Over the last week, there's been a lot of favorite tablet PCs. We first start with the BlackBerry Playbook. It's been officially certified to be one of the only tablets to get U.S. certification.
Something that I really like. It feels more polished than really Android.
Different offices will buy with confidence, knowing that the Playbook meets the computing policy requirements for protecting sensitive information. RIM has always been familiar with strong security, especially with their emails. Everything is really encrypted on the way to your devices. Research in most multi-servers.
Resolution 1024 by 768. Email.
It's very most vibrant information is secure, so that's really why BlackBerry and other smartphones look great,
doing so well because
touchpad celebrities to branches of government and so on. Many people stick with research and notion devices. First of all, because they have the best push to email processor.
You have 1 gig in a world, basically.
If you send an email,
there's two models available,
like
under 30 seconds, 32 gig
device. So it's a lot quicker than iOS and Android.
The one drawback is that there are no
phones and operating systems.
You can't do SD or micro SD.
Further in RIM news,
although
RIM has purchased JCut.
Touchpad
is a web editing platform that allows people
such as
to
Google
edit
Docs,
videos,
Dropbox,
online.
And a ton of others. It's also
they currently have 7 employees.
So it actually comes
and
with
this, it boosters the multimedia
out-of-the-box
Microsoft
Exchange and a bunch of other.
There's not a whole lot of people probably that are going to take advantage of this, but
Yahoo
who knows?
Mail, MSN, AOL, and so
it's
on.
Really,
it has one front-facing camera.
BlackBerry doing
most
this is
these days
competing with
facing,
the Apple iPad 2 with
HP
its software such as iMovie,
1.3 megapixel.
Apple is making a mobile
and
version of Final Cut
let's
Pro.
Let's look at
so
some of the software.
JCut will take advantage of the strong web browser.
And that's one of the things
which allows
that
the device to offer
really
a rich
about
internet
it.
Experience.
I
hardware,
had
the
30
Playbook
programs open,
video
nothing crashed,
live,
nothing lagged. It was the perfect device. There is
let's
an
get
app
into
catalog
whatever
that you
think
get new
which
programs
is the
from.
HP
so
Touchpad.
The Kindle application, the HP Movie Store.
There's a lot of things, including Angry Birds, social media, productivity, and a ton of other things. the app catalog is bunched into four main features: new apps, top free, top paid, and top apps. It also has a magazine style format for, you know, new things being submitted to the market, where it really is in zine slash magazine format, and as well as direct links to the downloads within the market. And I really liked it. This is, again, like, if you're a regular reader of BiddyReader.com, myself, Michael, Nick, and a whole other people here in the scenes or behind the scenes, we all review tablets, and most of the tablets that come out are Android ones, and WebOS is such a refreshing change from all of the, you know, the Android devices that come out that just basically load in the Google market and stock experiences. Really looks like HP really did a lot to bundle enough applications with the device that even if you didn't access the market, you would be good to go for a long time. Considering in Canada right now, we can get the HP TouchPad at Best Buy for about $450. It's perfect. If you're not an Apple fan, this is the best thing that you can get. Unlike Apple, you can plug this into your computer and then transfer comic books, ebooks, videos, pictures, and a whole lot more right to your device via Windows Explorer. You don't need any proprietary software. It's very good. We have a huge review on this on the front page, or probably second page of our blog now. Not only do we have a review, but we've done app reviews, so a step-by-step app walk through of all the apps that come with the device. We've also shot videos that compare the HP TouchPad against the Apple iPad, as well as against the T-Mobile G-Slate, so you get to see how WebOS stacks up against iOS and Android 3.0. So continue to watch the goodyreader.com/blog for all of the latest updates with that, or you can check out, if you're a video fiend, you can check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/goodyreader. We want to get into some technology news now. It looks like the Border saga is over. The company is pretty well done. There is 399 stores and over 11,000 employees that are done like dinner. And obviously our hopes and prayers go out to everybody who is going to imminently lose their job. Border stores haven't, you know, gone wholesale under yet, but it looks like that by about the end of the year, just everything's going to be closed down. New renters will get in there. There's two liquidation companies, Gordon Brothers and Hilco, that have taken over all things Borders in the immediate future. And don't forget, Kobo has taken over all of the ebook enterprises away from Borders. It looks like Borders has been in operation since 1971 and has done well up until about the last few years. If you were to ask my opinion when why they went bankrupt, of course, they had a lot of stores, a lot of stock, a lot of employees, a lot of pipelines as far as getting new books in there. Borders was competing heavily with Barnes & Noble. More people were going to Barnes & Noble because not only of their highly successful e-reader line, their Nook Simple Touch, Nook Color, and their older Nook models, which allowed you to walk in the store and read ebooks for free on the device, as well as give you incentives to get free coffee from the Starbucks or whatever specific location has like a cafe. Where Borders didn't have any of that. They sold e-readers, but they sold Kobo, Penn Digital, and a ton of others. They didn't brand their own e-reader, and that was partly why they went under, because they were selling other people's e-readers and making maybe 10% profit, whereas Barnes & Noble was pretty well making about 80 to 90% profit on each unit sold. So there was a lot of factors, but I think the fact that Borders never released its own e-reader as one of the main factors to really hurt them financially and not bring in enough money to keep their stores alive. In other technology news, it looks like Google Plus for the iPhone has been released. It's only for the iPhone and not the iPad or iPod Touch or anything like that, but you can access your circles, status updates, and Huddle directly through the application. No word yet on when it's going to be available for other iOS devices, but if you have an iPhone, you can access Google Plus directly from the App Store. The BlackBerry Playbook, in the short amount of time that it has been on the market, has actually done quite well versus the other major operating systems. available, such as Windows, Android, and iOS. In about the roughly the 4 or 5 months since the playbook has been out, it controls 3.3% of the overall tablet market, while Windows, that has been around for a while, controls 4.6%. It doesn't really touch the Apple iPad, which controls 61.3% of the market, while Android controls 30% of the market. This might change next year when Microsoft releases Windows 8, which is going to be more mobile and tablet friendly, which has a lot of enhancements to make it shine on touch screens. If you want a really good tablet that functions under Windows 7, you don't really have to look no further than XOPC. It was our 2010 pick of the best tablet that has the Windows operating system. We do have some more iOS news. Kobo has suspended book sales via the iOS app, as well as Borders has also suspended the book sales via iOS. When you have the Borders iPad application or so on, it really took you to the Kobo store. So Kobo's decision, really, it was influenced by Apple by wanting to suspend in-app purchases and have all purchases be made by iTunes. Now, it's impossible for a bookseller to do this, so you can browse ebooks, but in order to buy them, you open up the Safari browser and get transferred to Kobo.com. You make your purchase done over the web, and then when you purchase a book, it actually gets synced to your device, and it's the exact same with Borders. So that about wraps it up with this week in review for the Goody Reader Radio Show. My name is Marcus, and everybody take care.